wonderful thing our Lord has done. Amen? No one could have done it for you like he did it. Amen? He climbed up on a cross and stretched his arms wide and died for you and me. It's marvelous today. I am so glad that I serve a God who is able, to take all of the sins of the world and to forgive us of our sins and reunite us once again with our Lord. Amen? Amen. I am glad. I am blessed. I am thrilled to be in the house of the Lord today. How about you? My soul leaps inside of me as we have worshiped the Lord in song and in prayer, giving honor first to God, who is the head and the shepherd of my life. I thank him for the wonderful ways he moves and does things, and how he is able to perform miracles upon miracles every single day. Amen?
Amen.
I thank God for our pastor in his absence, for his gracious allowing me to come before you and to share what thus saith the Lord. You know, I've been around a bit, and I've been from church to church, and not every preacher or minister is a pastor. Not everyone who stands in the name of the Lord cares for the people of God. And one thing I know about Pastor Armstrong, he has a heart for the people of God, amen? He is a good man and hasn't been tainted by this world, but just desires that the word of God will live in the hearts of people, that they may experience his mighty deliverance. Amen? And so I am in awe and honor to be able to stand here today and to be worshiping with you. To those who join me in worship, Reverend Bougelet, thank you so very much for that mighty, mighty prayer. Amen? Deacon Malone, thank you for your worship leading, for the spirit of hospitality that you shared with me, and to all of the deacons in this great congregation. Amen. I thank you for the opportunity. And as I prepare for this time of worship, I invite you to join with me in the reading of God's word. If you can stand with me as we honor the Holy Word of God. And turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, the Gospel of Matthew. And our scripture for today will begin with verse 22. Matthew 14, 22. Through 33. When you have found it, just shout out, it's marvelous.
It's marvelous.
All right now. All right. Let us hear now what thus saith the Lord. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand, caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Blessed the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, you are marvelous. Marvelous deeds you did then, marvelous deeds you continually to do in our lives today. Awesome ways you work through us, even in spite of us. God, I come now asking you to anoint this hour, asking you to hide me behind your cross and to cover me with the drippings of your blood. To empower me to proclaim what thus say you. To open the ears of believers, to soften the hearts of your people, that the word may not return void, but instead, God, do a mighty work even in spite of us. You are awesome. You are mighty. You are wonderful, and it is for that reason that we gather here today. Hallelujah. Not on us, but all for you. Amen. Now, God, remain in our midst as the proclamation goes forth. Bless now your preacher, bless now your people, and continue to bless your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray and count it done. The people of God said amen.
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 Amen. And bless God. You may take your seats. I still haven't figured out how to do this thing in that I need glasses to read, but when I read my glasses, I look out. I can't see. So I got to figure out, am I gonna look at the sermon or am I going to look at you? But it's come that time where those readers are very, very helpful, and I have them all over my house because never know when I might need to take a look at something just a little closer. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I love this season in the Christian calendar, the Lenten season, and as we were approaching Ash Wednesday, I said to my girls, I said, we have to celebrate Lent. We have to figure out what we must do to make this special. And I had to explain to them what it was all about. I said, well, Lent is the season in the Christian calendar where we prepare ourselves. We kind of focus in on Christ's sacrifice. And so oftentimes people decide to give things up or maybe give up food or give up something, but you don't just give it up just to give it up. But when you're giving it up and when you think about it, you're supposed to be taking that time to think about the Lord and to seek his guidance to draw him closer. So I think my nephew said he was going to give up soda. That lasted all about 24 hours. But I encouraged my girls. I said, if you can't think of anything to give up, then what you need to do is intentionally set aside time where we can focus on the Lord a little deeper. Amen?
Amen?
And so before the girls go to bed and as I drop them off to school, we have prayer. And I bought a little Lenten reflection for kids. And so we take time to do that as well because it's important to train up our children in the way they should go. Amen? But even in the midst of working with my girls and being a family of faith, my husband and I together, focusing in on Jesus' sacrifice and the things he did while he was here, I also took this time for personal reflection as well. And in my personal devotional, I had set aside reading. And as I was preparing for this time of preaching, my devotional reflection led me to reflect back on this wonderful journey of ministry that I had been on. And as I was sitting there reflecting on what God has done, I hardly could believe that it's been nearly 25 years since the Lord touched me and said, I got something for you to do. And it feels almost like it was yesterday, because the Lord is new in my life every day, and he's always presenting himself as if he's doing something brand new. And as I was reflecting on when I started in ministry, I reflected back to that first ministry that God laid in my lap that would ultimately lead to my call into ministry. In my home church of St. Paul, many years ago, as I've already indicated, I was led with two other friends to start a young adult ministry. And at that juncture, there weren't many young adults in the church. But what stuck out for me is that theme that we used to gather the people together for that first meeting. And we had signs we put up, and we made announcements with not much explanation, but just inviting people, come learn how to walk on water. And as I said, there weren't many young adults, so we were encouraged to say, don't expect many folks. But as the Lord does, he does a mighty thing. And the room was filled, and folks just came wanting to know how to put their faith in action. And as I was reflecting on that and thinking about that theme today and thinking about how that theme was so powerful and how it transformed lives in that setting, I still am confident in knowing that theme is equally as powerful today and has the ability of transforming lives even here today. And I think about it. I said, even over the last 25 years or so, I reflect on various times in my life when God gave me opportunity to step out of the boat, when God gave me opportunities to stretch out on faith. And in the time that is ours today, church, I'd like to share from this scripture text and from the topic, Walking on Water, a Reoccurring Lesson in Faith. This is a word, saints, not just for the seasoned saints or the new saints, but I believe this is a word as well for the not yet saints. We all are come to the occasion where God challenges us to step out on faith, that God challenges us to go beyond our comfort zone so that he can take us higher in him. Amen. Now, if we turn to our text earlier on, Jesus learns of John the Baptist's death. And in response, he tries to go off on his own. But by now in his ministry, the crowds find him and the crowds follow him everywhere. And he has compassion and he's healing folks and even performing miracles. That's where he fed the 5,000 with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And at this moment in the text, he's dismissing the crowd, and he tells his disciples to go ahead of him, to get in the boat, and to go on to the other side. And it's important to note that when they got in the boat, the sea was calm. It was business as usual. But somewhere along the way, a storm arose. And that's not uncommon in that area. Storms rise, but they settle down rather quickly. But this storm lingered a while. And here is where our story begins. One thing I know for sure, storms will come and storms will go. I think even our community, this East Coast, is still kind of ripe of that Hurricane Sandy. So we still have images in our minds of the devastation of what storms can bring. But I'm here to tell you, not every storm is a bad storm. In areas of drought, they are looking for those waters to come. And even in our lives, God brings storms for a purpose. Sometimes the Lord's purpose is for correction. I think of Jonah. God gave Jonah a task to do. He said, Jonah, I want you to go give this word to the people of Nineveh. Jonah was like, I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. And so Jonah thought he was big and bad enough to turn around and go the other way. But God brought a storm and a very interesting mode of transportation. He came by way of a belly of a whale right back to the place that God told him to go in the first place. Sometimes when God brings storms in our lives, it's for reasons of correction. And other times, the purpose of God bringing a storm in our life is for spiritual growth. The Lord will use a storm to help us mature and to walk stronger in Him. Paul said in Romans 5:3, he said, we rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And even James continues by saying, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Church, I believe that the purpose of the storm that the disciples found themselves in was to grow them up in the faith. God allowed those storm winds to come so that they may trust Him a little more, even when he wasn't physically with him. A couple of years ago, our family experienced a similar storm of sorts. It's almost been 5 years when my brother went to the doctor because there was a knot or a growth on his knee. The doctor then sent him to a specialist. The specialist then sent him for tests. And upon leaving that testing site, he hadn't even got home before his cell phone rang and said, Mr. Morrissey, the doctor would like to speak to you. It wasn't good news. The mass that they thought they saw that was there looked like a rare form of cancer. Our family found ourselves in the midst of a storm. And this particular cancer had a not good chances of survival. And he was referred then to a cancer specialist at Sloan Kettering. And what was interesting that was that the appointment was so far away. And in the midst of that time of waiting to see this specialist and to kind of tackle this problem, we would go to prayer. Our family drew closer together, and we started that prayer chain, and everybody was praying. And my brother went to Sloan Kettering. He met with the specialist who confirmed that it appears to be that cancer. And on the day that he went for his surgery, the doctor in his scrub said, you know what? I think I want to do just a couple more tests. And he does another series of tests, and he says, you know what? I don't think I want to do quite as an aggressive process. Instead, I'm just going to take a biopsy. And after the results came back, what our faith knew, what God knew, it wasn't cancer at all. And even though in that time of not knowing, God drew us closer to Him, and God said, if you believe and you hold on, that He will make a way. And that is a testimony that my brother shares, you know, very, very often to encourage people to trust in the Lord. Trust him, because you never know. Storms come in our lives for many, many different reasons. And yet, even still, sometimes it's about how we respond to our storms. We have no control if the storm's going to come or not. We don't know what type of storm, and it's not even that important. But all we have control over is our actions in the storm. And typically, there are two ways that you can respond. You can respond in faith, trusting that God has got your back, or you can respond in fear. There are two ways to respond. I have heard folks say that fear is just the other side of faith. When the disciples saw Jesus walking toward them on the water, they responded in fear. It is a ghost. What I know is fear will paralyze you, church. Fear will blind you to the movement of God. Fear overemphasizes our circumstances. Fear inhibits us from seeing the power of work of God in our lives. Fear isolates us from the truth, and it imprisons us in despair. Fear will psych you out. I think of the Jews in Exodus. In spite of all the miracles that God did before the Pharaoh, and in spite of the way he set them free, and they were free from Egyptian bondage. But when they came facing the Red Sea and Pharaoh's chariots at their back, they responded in fear. They said, "Moses, have you brought us out here to die?" Fear says God will abandon you. Faith says God is always on time. Fear says it's impossible. Faith said, "God, with God, all things are possible." The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Faith is taking the first step, even when you don't see the staircase." St. Augustine wrote, "Faith is to believe what you do not see. And the reward of faith is to see what you do not believe." By stepping out on faith, Paul stepped out of that boat. And that was his response to the storm. He took a risk. He stepped out of the boat. I imagine Paul must have said, "I prefer to be on the water with Jesus than to be in the boat without Jesus." And so he stepped out on faith today. I'm so glad that Paul stepped out. I'm so glad that he gave us that image today. And yet there still is a key message that I don't want you to miss here. You know, when we step out on faith, God is then able to take us to new levels of blessing, new levels of grace. When we step out on faith, we see things different. We experience things different. We take it higher in him. Now you see, for Peter, when he stepped out on faith and he started to walk on water, he was no longer a spectator of the miracles of God. He then became one of the miracles of God. You can't walk on water. Jesus can walk on water, but through him, he allowed Jesus to allow him to become a miracle. Church, I want to tell you today, when you step out, you become a miracle. You become a testimony to what God can do, not in your own power, but by the power of God, you're able to do the impossible. You become an instrument of God's miracle-working power. I think about the home that we live in today. My husband and I, that was a huge leap of faith. We used to oftentimes go on Saturdays to all the new developments, and we'd love to see the homes and say, oh, I want this one, oh, the three-car garage, oh, this, that, and the other. Don't have a dime to talk about it, but we love to look about it, and we dreamed about it. And one particular time, we went to this development, and we got past it, and never had gone in. I said, well, we should stop. This one's so close. We should stop and go in. And we went in, and that office was buzzing with all sorts of people. And I don't know if you've been in those offices. They have these big boards, and they have all these little spaces where they're homes, and you can put your dot there if you got your money and you want to buy it. And we didn't have a dot. We didn't have money. We couldn't do too much of anything. But we went anyway, and we toured the model homes, and we fell in love. And it was kind of like, oh, I can see myself here. I think I really want to do this. And I remember I had called my brother up, and I said, you got to come see this place. It's amazing. And he came, and my mom came. We had all these people in this model just touring. Ain't got a dollar. Just want to remind you. We are touring this place. We're like, oh, this is wonderful. But the interesting thing was that there weren't many left. There were only a couple of homes that were still left. And they were going quickly, and there were people in there with checks and doing all sorts of things. And my husband and I went home, and we prayed about it, and we said, we got to do this. And I am, contrary to what it may seem, I am the realist of the family. I said, honey, we don't have a check. We have a check, but it has no zeros that can support it. And he said, I believe that this is the place that God wants us to be. And we stepped out on faith. Now, mind you, also, the home we were living in, it wasn't on the market. We ain't talked to a realtor, nothing. And so on one Friday, very nervously, I handed over a very large check of money that I borrowed from a family member. And the following Sunday, I met with a realtor to put my house on the market. Now, this was at the height of homes were sitting. They were sitting for months. And we had a very short window of time that we need to sell this house because we really didn't have the money to buy the house until we sold the house, but to put it down anyway because we believed God to do it. And so we were in a bit of a pickle, but we would pray about it. So, oh, when we move to our new house, oh, and we were just believing in faith. And there were times we had open houses. People came, and they went, and they came, and they went. And I remember, because this happened around the end of January, and we were scheduled to move in June once they completed the home. And I remember after Easter, that Easter Monday, my realtor called and said, you got a buyer. They're willing to pay you what you want. And I was excited, but I was like, can they move in when I need them to move in? And everything lined up perfectly. Everything lined up perfectly. I was able to pay the money back, not with interest, but I paid back. And I was able to move into the house of which has blessed my family so tremendously. I tell you, church, when you step out on faith, God creates miracles and you become part of that miracle. Amen. And yet, when I look at this text, the good news of the text isn't necessarily that there are storms. And the good news isn't even really that Peter stepped out of the boat, because we all know he stepped out and then he got a little frayed as well. But the good news that I see in this text that comes screaming out at me is that Jesus is always there. You know, when they were struggling with those oars and they were trying to keep control of that boat, he was coming to them on the water. Jesus is always there. That is the real good news of the text today. When we're in the midst of our storms, he's right there. We are never alone in our storm. When fear abounds, Jesus tells us what? Fear not. Fear not. Throughout the scripture, people of God are encouraged. What? Fear not. When Abraham set out from the promised land, turning his back to everything he knew, God spoke to him. He said, Abram, I am your shield and your reward. Fear not, Abram. When the Israelites stood at the Red Sea and couldn't see Pharaoh's chariot in hot pursuit, Moses said to them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Fear not. When the angel of the Lord came to Mary and said, you are going to bear a child, she trembled with fear. But the angel told her what? Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Many times throughout Scripture, you hear these words encouraging the people of God. And one of my most favorite scriptures that I use with my little girl, oftentimes I hear from Paul telling Timothy, and he said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind. Fear not, church. Fear not. And not only is the Lord near, but when we become distracted by our circumstances and take our eyes off of Jesus and begin to sink in our situation, he is there with an outstretched hand. Fear not, saints. Now, that is good news today. You mean even when I am fearful, even in the midst of my fear, even when my faith should have kicked in, but it didn't kick in, God is still there with an outstretched hand. Fear not, saints. I want to tell you today, God still has your back. Even when you become distracted, God has your back, even when you're overwhelmed in your circumstances. Peter took that grand step of faith and began to walk on water. But somewhere along the way, he stopped looking at Jesus and began to look at his circumstances. Fear not, for God has an outstretched hand. If he can save Peter, he can save you. He has saved me a many a day with an outstretched hand, and I'm grateful here today. I don't know about you. You know, I'll come to church on Sunday, and I'll be fired up. I'm fired up and ready to go. I'll be hearing a message. I was fired up when I heard Minister Holloway say, preach her message. I said, I can do it. I'm ready to go. I am all ready, and I am encouraged and built up. But you know, sometimes somewhere around Wednesday or Thursday, that fired up gets a little drizzly. Them kids start acting up just a little bit. My husband, we ain't seeing eye to eye. My boss starts pressing in on every hand, and then you start hearing rumors of downsizing, and then the bills start coming in, and I'm not quite as ready to take that leap out of the boat as I thought I was. But I am so glad that Cut Sunday rolls around once again, and he builds me up, and he encourages me in my words so that I can be fired up and take that leap of faith. I am so glad that I serve a God who will find us regardless of where we are. And church, believe it or not, as I prepare to take my seat today, I encourage you to remember, storms are inevitable, but not all storms are bad storms. They sometimes come to grow us up in the faith. And folks, we have a choice. There's a choice as to which how we respond to our storms. We can respond in faith, or we can respond with fear. And even if we start off strong in the faith, but fear enters in, be encouraged to know that God is near with a word to tell you to fear not. And after he tells you to fear not, if you still start sinking, he'll reach out a hand and grab you and catch you and pull you back in the boat. I encourage you today to take the opportunity to step out on your faith. I don't know what storm you may be in, or I don't know what storm may be coming on the horizon. I don't know what challenge God may have put in front of you. But if God placed it there, he is able to carry you through. He is able to help you to walk on water. And you know, as I reflect back on that ministry, that young adult ministry that I started with two friends back in 1989, as I said, they said, there aren't many young adults here. We just have kids and seasoned adults. And if not a lot of people come, don't worry, just continue to do. And yet on that first meeting, we set 20 chairs in a circle, and those 20 chairs were filled up before the meeting started. And people just started coming, not from the church, but from the community and other churches. You know, when you step out and do what God asked you to do, because that was a step of faith for me, because I was a believer, but I was the bench-warming believer. I wasn't involved in leadership, but the Lord placed it on my heart. He said, I need someone to speak my word and draw my people in. And so we did as God asked, and people came. Not only that, that first meeting had 30 folks, or actually over 30 folks there, but within 3 months, 150 folks joined that ministry. And people joined the church, people became deacons and trustees in the church, and 5 folk were called out to be ministers of the gospel. You know, when you step out on faith, there's an amazing thing of what God does. And still to this day, I look back and I see what God has done in my life and the life of those colleagues who were alongside with me. I encourage you today, step out of the boat. Step out on faith. Trust God to allow you to walk on water. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, God.
Amen.
The deacons are coming, and ministers, to offer the invitation to discipleship, to take a faith walk. They will meet you like Jesus met Peter, with an outstretched hand. Don't let what you can do today be left till tomorrow. We invite you to the faith. If you don't know the Lord, what a wonderful, wonderful, marvelous place to be. If you know the Lord and you haven't been connected to a church home, Shiloh is a fabulous church with wonderful people who love the Lord and who will walk with you in this journey, this Christian journey. So we encourage you to step out today. Take the hand of God and allow Him to lead you to a higher height in Him. Allow Him to allow you to be a miracle in our midst.